This is February 21st in the year 2001, and this is Bob Gilgore interviewing Lucille R. McDougall at her home at 222 North Graham Street. Get started. Good afternoon, Lucille. How are you today?
Fine, thank you, Bob. Glad to have you here.
Well, I'm so happy to be able to interview you. I usually begin by asking about growing up in Chapel Hill, but I'm going to change the agenda today since you have such a different background from everyone else I've interviewed. And I'd just like to start with your teaching career and when you came to start teaching here in Chapel Hill, where you taught, how long you taught, and then we can talk about your husband afterwards and Lincoln High School, and then talk a little bit about integration. So that's the agenda, and let's start with your first teaching job here in Chapel Hill.
I graduated from Knoxville College, Knoxville, Tennessee in 1932 and came directly here as a math teacher. I married in 33. My husband finished the same college that I did. And he was from Henderson and I was from Winston-Salem. We married in 33, 1 year after we came here. And we worked together for many years. Our first job was at Orange County Training School. Later, Lincoln High School. We married in 33 and worked here for many years together. We had good memories of Orange County Training School and good memories of the people of Chapel Hill who were very cooperative to us. One thing I'd like to always remember, Orange County Training School was up on the hill, so we always had to come to school, go to school, or wherever you were, you always had a hill just about to go down, cross a little branch, up the hill to school. The school was one of these schools put out by this philanthropist, and so all of the schools always had a porch across the front. And the time that we came here, I think we had maybe no more than 8 rooms. Later, Orange County Training School was redesigned and they added on to it. And now it's no Orange County Training School. It was changed from Orange County Training School to Northside, and it's just a community center in that area now. Our parents that we worked with were very cooperative during that time. They wanted their children to do right, and often the parents just had to know that somebody thought that somebody had said something to one of the children, and the parents would at least come to check on it or to see if what they had heard was true or not. I worked at Orange County Training School. Then it was named Lincoln High School, which was still over in the same section. Then the schools were integrated and we had different names for the different integrated schools. And I retired after working. I retired several years. I'll come back and remember when I did retire. And I have enjoyed being retired.
What grade did you teach?
When I finished college, I had a high school math certificate. And I taught math for many years. Then I went back to school and changed my certificate to grammar grade certificate. And I started teaching in the grammar grade, but I originally was a math teacher. I've taught in Frankfurter Grammar School, Northside School. Estes Hill, I retired from Estes Hill School. And I had many pleasant years at these schools.
Could you define what the characteristics of the typical teacher at Orange County Training School was like? What were the characteristics of the typical teacher there?
The typical teacher was such that in our minds we thought we knew what we were supposed to be doing. We tried to do the best that we could. If you're sitting there, it's not like it was in the beginning. In the beginning, there was this porch, which was the Rosenwald plan. Everybody knew each other. The parents knew the teachers, and the teachers knew the parents, and each one knew what was expected of them. So we had very cooperative parents who only had to know that we were having problems, if we had them, or when we had them. We had PTAs, but it's much different from the PTAs now.
How so?
Well, the school was small. See, when we first came here, it was Orange County Training School. They changed it. Northside, but because that's right. Lincoln was down in where it is now, I think. But the high school was there at this Orange County, at this Northside, at the school that I was talking about in the very beginning, Orange County Training School. Parents were very cooperative, and we would have operators during that time. And you couldn't get into the auditorium for the parents being there looking at their children and looking at nobody but their own. And we had a stage, and we often said that the children were on the stage, but nobody never fell off the stage. And the stage only had a curtain across the front. There was nothing on each side. And some of them would say, well, we knew better than to fall off. So that meant when you were up on that stage, you stayed still so you wouldn't fall off. And some others that you might interview, might give some of the impressions that they had or what they thought, or what they thought was expected of them. We left Orange County Training School, and I went down to we went down to Lincoln. They had part of the elementary was bit there a while when the different schools began to get crowded. And then we opened up Frank Porter Graham School. I went there. And then at Frank Porter Graham was integration. I ended at Estes Hills, which was in integration. So I had experiences with the segregated school and with the integrated school.
Can you remember the differences between the integrated school and the segregated school?
Well, in my mind, it seems, but I guess I'm prejudiced. But in my mind, it seems like we were expected more in the segregated school. We were kind of, in the beginning, seemingly on our own until we adjusted to where we were and what we were doing and who my students were.
Could you expand on that a little bit? Are you saying that you knew where you stood in the segregated school more than in the integrated school, the black students?
In a sense, we knew what was expected of us
in the segregated
school. Mm-hmm. We felt like we had the cooperation of everybody, because maybe it was because we were coming from the same neighborhood. Then when the schools were integrated, everybody was there, all races were there. And so maybe you can't put your finger on everything. So we were prejudiced, I guess.
You felt that it was a better experience for the students at the segregated school?
In a sense. Because, you see, we all would come from the same neighborhood. When the schools became integrated, we had people from all areas of Chapel Hill.
Was there a feeling of caring present in the segregated school that wasn't there in the integrated school?
I don't know, in the sense, what in my mind in the beginning, seemed like we felt like we know what was expected of us in the segregated school. We had to really adjust ourselves to where we were. Then when we got to the integrated school, things were expected of us that we did. But I don't know whether it was because we all in the segregated school was coming from the same neighborhood, and you never did know who was going to be standing out looking, or who would say how you were before you got home. So I don't want to feel prejudiced.
Well, but I don't take that as prejudice. I think that's an opinion. And one has to respect that opinion. I mean, what you're saying to me is that people were looking out for you when you were going to school and going home
and in the classroom
because you were all part of a community.
Yes.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Well, that's it. See, we all were coming from the same area.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak, we were neighbors.
You were like a family.
Yes, we were. We were a family. And that went on from 32. I was in segregated school from 32 until, let's see now, when integration started. I went to Estes Hills was my first school, I think, went to.
Were you welcomed? Yes, it was.
Oh, before I went to Estes Hills, I went to Frank Porter Graham School. Mm-hmm. That's down the hill now. And it's been developed so much now, it's much larger. But when we went down there, when the first school opened, we didn't have any telephone services, so we'd have to send messages up the hill to Lincoln for them to get our messages through or whatever had to be done. But we weren't down there that long. But it wasn't many. It's not like it. The enrollment there, I guess we might have had 10 or more, and part of those people were for the junior high school from Lincoln, because their building, when it was at Frank Porter Graham, their building wasn't ready for them. So part of us were over there with, like, as grammar grade teachers, and part were, a few of them were from Lincoln, but Lincoln soon was able to get into there. Yeah.
How did the students understand what was expected of them at Orange County Training School?
Well, I don't know whether it was administration or what, but in the very beginning, the black child knew that everybody knew us, so they knew that you could pass their parent anytime on the street. We had PTAs that often parents would come to, because the child would be participating in programs and things of that sort. So a lot of times I think it was children knowing that somebody was going to see their parents, or what. It's something I still haven't straightened up in my mind, because I had children in school and I know what they had to do and all, and I had the horror of having to teach my son one year. So that's that. So I guess he was glad when the year ended, I'm sure. I know I was.
What was the PTA like at Orange County Training School?
The parents came out. We used to have little programs, and often we would have operators. And sometime at the PTA, it was a follow over or encouragement to come or some type of announcement or something like that. I think during those early years, the black man liked his school. He liked his children participating. And as we said, we were there with nothing on the side, nothing on the front but a curtain on the stage. But nobody dared to, nobody. Everybody has questions. Did anybody else fall off of there? And no one did. And that's something that in the years now, people wonder. But one was just an ordinary stage. And nobody didn't fall off of that stage. But the children said they knew better.
Did you have assemblies?
Yes, we had assemblies every, we had assemblies once a week.
On Fridays?
Let's see, I think they might have been on Thursdays or Fridays. And different classes participated, so that was why the child learned how to participate, the black child in the black school. And in their mind, of all those years that they went there, they'll always tell you nobody never did fall off the stage. And see, everybody was having assemblies, not every day, but at least once a week.
Mm-hmm. And those assemblies, the children usually perform
they
something?
They perform.
What's besides the operetta, what are the things?
Well, you had units in the classrooms. You had units, and you'd always share. Your program was always was centered around new units or that. Sometimes it was just different activities that you had in the classroom, and when it came for having programs, we shared that. It was more like, when you think of it, there was more of a sharing of the things, and that was an assembly once a week. So you had a chance to share what you had been doing for the past 4 weeks or 6 weeks when you got ready with the assembly. When you stopped to think of it, it was just what we were doing in the classroom.
Did they have any singing performances at
these? Oh yes, we had had glee clubs.
Glee clubs, huh?
Oh yes, we had glee clubs and all and operettas. It was a good participation, so the children had a chance to participate. They were given the opportunity to participate. They were given the opportunity to share.
Did the band play on the stage?
Yes, we had assemblies. Now you see, the band came along later.
Do you remember what year the band started?
No, let's see. Miss Bell. Charlene, were the Bells the first one to have the band?
You mean as a
over there for Orange for Lincoln?
Yeah, where was Mr. Pritchard before or after?
Where was where?
Where was Mr. Pritchard? Was he before Bell or after Bell?
I can't remember.
So it was either Mr. Bell or Mr. Pritchard who started the band.
Mr. Bell was the band.
Yeah.
Well, I knew the band. Who, Shawnee, you were in the band?
Yeah, well, Mr. Pritchard was above me. So he was before me. So Mr. Pritchard must have had the band before Mr. Bell.
Oh, you're not saying Pritchard. You mean Pickard.
Pickard.
Yes, she was saying
Pickard.
Pickard, yeah. He was the band man.
Right.
He came here when we first came. Yeah. But that's Pickard.
So he started the band.
Yes. And Polly Atwater, I think, was one of the first ones that was in the dance. And I think I saw her name there.
Yeah, Polly McCauley?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. See was she one of the first ones.
All right.
And Shirley, I don't think Shirley is here. She was a cheerleader. She probably can tell you that bit of that history. See, she was way ahead of me. I mean, I didn't teach her. I was through when she came through. I didn't never teach her. I did Lois.
Can you think of any other differences regarding the schools before versus after integration? You mentioned that the students knew what was expected of them.
Yeah, yes.
And it was like a family. And they had a lot of performances at Orange County
training school,
and then at Lincoln. Did they have the same performance orientation at Estes Hills?
At Estes Hills, it seems like we had assemblies. I think we did. But I don't know whether we had operettas and things like that during that time. See, that was... I don't think we had no operettas. It seemed like that had gone out.
When you went to Estes Hills, did you feel welcome there as a black teacher among white teachers?
I did in a sense, but I just went my way. Mm-hmm. I knew what I was doing, and my classroom was down on that lower level, but it was because that was the sixth grade. It wasn't that that we were just put down there. The fifth and sixth grades was on that lower level. And Estes Hills, I think, has that same school is there. And if ever you pass by there on that lower level, I think there were maybe about six classes or more. I think the fifth and sixth grades was there. And then later on, the junior high school up there was built. And often they would be standing looking at us coming back from lunch and all. And we was looking at them out in the field. So it was, I guess it was what you've been used to doing, you would do. So I did what I had been used to doing.
Could you teach the white students the same as you had taught the black students before?
Yes, I could. Mm-hmm. I could. And I had good cooperation with the parents. See, I started that in the sixth grade.
I've had some people I've interviewed say to me that the white schools were very liberal in the way they let the children behave, whereas the black schools demanded discipline.
Uh-huh.
What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you see, I went from a segregated school over into Estes Hills. And I went where everybody knew what they were doing and what they had to do and what was expected of them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I was prejudiced, I don't know. Then you see my classroom was down on that lower level. I'm trying to think before I went down there to the sixth grade if I taught. Well, yes, but, let me see there. When the first integration started. But I know I was at Estes Hills, and I have a feeling that I went to Estes Hills in the very beginning. And I was always used to doing what I was supposed to do, so I, you know, you see, it wasn't no matter. Well, I'm in a school, I'm going to start a loafer now.
Now, you don't look like a loafer to me.
No, well, it wasn't.
A lot of age,
and during those days, you knew what was expected of you. The children got to a place that they knew what was expected of them.
How much involvement did you have with your husband's role in his position in school?
I'm trying to think. Did I tell her? Charlie, did I ever teach any work under your daddy? See, I just remember Northside and Mr. Peace. Oh, yes.
When did your husband become principal at Northside?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I did. You know, I taught him how to teach him math.
Yeah.
And David and all of them.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think. But I worked, see, when we first...
Mr. Hargrave was talking about that time when you were under dad, remember how he had called you in office about something?
Yeah. I worked on him. Yeah, I did.
When did he become principal?
When did he become principal? Yeah.
So he was principal at Northside Orange County Training
Orange
School
County Training
first.
School. And then Orange County Training, then the... Now, Orange County Training School was the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then Northside was...
I don't believe it was.
What Mr. Peace was that one? Was
yeah,
Mr. Peace...
But when I was in first and second grade, was he there?
Oh, I believe so, Charlie, because it seemed like to me when the first and second grade, we had school, had afternoon classes, and during that time. We had afternoon classes and morning classes, but that was before some of the additions were made to
the school didn't hold all the
children.
Yeah.
So they had morning school and afternoon school.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but now, but late.
First and second grade at the same time?
Yeah, what?
Remember, the morning was like
with
this young, and the afternoon I was with somebody else because I
guess
you were there.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah. Well, Charlene, but the library. Where was your daddy's office?
Hey, office was in that little middle part, off from the gym, and then it was that office area, and then there was fourth and fifth grade.
Was
Horton and all of them.
Was that library there then?
I don't ever remember no library.
Okay, so the library. No, because you don't.
I don't remember the library.
Well, the library.
That the Orange County Training School.
That was Northside.
Orange County Training School. We had a tiny room for a library, and seemed like to me it was over that porch. This porch that I tell you, it was back of. It was just a little. Seemed like it was a small room. But then, Charlene, you went there. We had had a real library when you went there.
I can't remember the library.
Don't remember the library? Do you remember your dad's office?
Kind of.
Do you know why it was called Orange County?
Well, you see, this is Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
So Orange County, that was the school for Orange County.
But
we had children to come here from Orange County, from out there past Carlboro.
I see.
Uh-huh. There's it's a building out there, there's something where the people who lived out there went to that one-room school. So everybody from the beginning of Orange County didn't come here. And see, this was called Orange County. This was training school. And you see, they had that word training on there, made people think that this was a reform place or something. And the parents kicked it so that they took that off.
Mm-hmm.
You finished in Lincoln, though, didn't you?
But the White High School wasn't called Orange County
no, it was
High
just,
School.
It was just Chapel Hill High School.
Yeah.
And it was the only high school. And it was right there where... it's in that place where you got those hot dogs from and all that.
University Square.
It's on Franklin Street. And it might have been somewhere else before it went there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that was strictly a white school. And the black school was Lincoln High School.
Mm-hmm.
I think, was the first name after we changed it from Orange County Training School. It was.
Mm-hmm. When your husband was principal of the school, did he make changes in how the school was run?
Yes, they had different plans and procedures and classes things.
What sort of changes did he make?
Well, see, when they went down to Lincoln, Lincoln was a big place, so to speak, and had buses that took the children to Lincoln at the high school, and then those buses took some of the same children from the same neighborhood to the elementary school. So we had people from out there. Hickory Grove was one of the areas. The children one time had a school out there, and then they came here. All the areas. Now Carrboro, and see, the blacks in Carrboro came here. They didn't go to Carrboro School.
They went to Orange County Training School.
Yeah, Orange County Training School. See, that's Miss Vickers, Charlene, you know. See, Mrs. Vickers lived right back of the old post office that used to be there in Carrboro, right down that street. And all those people there went to Northside. Because there was some of them didn't, they were close to Carrboro, but they came there. I don't know why, but they came to Orange County Training School. I think in the beginning it was either a black school or a white school. White school for white, black school, black school. When you were in a certain area, you went to your race school.
Right.
I think that's black B. That's the way it seems now. I can't remember. But I do know when I came here, I taught at Orange County Training School.
What kind of a disciplinarian was your husband when he was the principal at Lincoln?
He walked the line.
He walked the line?
Yeah. I mean, the kids had a chance to do something, but they really respected. Teachers were respected, and the children, in a sense, respected themselves, because they knew what was expected of them. So they might show off later, but they knew. It's something I was reading in the paper today about something, wasn't concerning Shepherd School or something, but it brought back to my mind us going up and down that hill from this area when I was teaching, going up there to Orange County Training School. And you were never late. Very, very, very seldom were you late.
What happened if you were late?
I don't know where you stayed in. I don't know. I don't think you got no penning, did you? I don't think you. I think that was ways of being punished. Sometimes you had certain things to do.
Do you remember a demerit system at the school? If you did something wrong, you might get some demerits, and if you got enough demerits, you might get suspended for a while?
I kind of remember some of things like that. I know there was different ways of discipline, which worked.
Which ways worked?
I meant kids tried to respect themselves and respect you. And because they knew that the person had to go to the office for being rude or talking back or something like that, they knew they were going to have to stay in or something would happen. So that's one thing, you knew what was expected of you. And you abided by that. A lot of times you know what's children now, I guess no, but then they're going to do whatever they might do what they feel like they want to do. See, I don't have no dealings with the schools in here and there. For been a long time, so I don't know how. See, I retired a long time ago.
So your husband was principal when Lincoln High School opened.
Opened. In fact, he was principal at Orange. He worked at Orange County Training School.
With him, he was principal also at Orange
County.
Orange County
Training School, yes.
And then?
When they built Lincoln, Lincoln was down here. It didn't begin in Orange County Training School, was right up that hill up back in there, where the senior citizen is. That was North Side.
And then he
But it wasn't called North Side, it was North Side with Mr. Peace.
He was principal from 1961 to 1966 at Lincoln, the new Lincoln School. And then he went to Chapel Hill High School when the integrated high school opened.
All right. But now you were saying 61?
51. I'm sorry, 51 to 66. Yes. If I said 61, I said it now.
Oh, yeah.
51 to
66. Yeah, that's it, because he was principal a long time ago.
And what role did he play at Chapel Hill High School, the integrated high school?
He was associate. He was assistant principal.
Assistant principal.
Charlie, you didn't go there, did you?
Charles.
Charles went there.
What effect did that have on him? That's going to make noise, so if you could hold it up just a little bit, that would be great. So here he was principal for a long time. He had a master's degree in education from Columbia University, and he went from principal to assistant principal.
Yeah. See, in the meantime, Miss Marshbank was principal of Chapel Hill High School down here in town. So when the schools were built, how was that, Charlene? Maybe you can remember.
I never understood. So you probably have a better understanding.
Okay. When the high school,
so
he
Ms. Marshbank was already a principal.
Miss Marshbank was already principal of the white school.
Okay.
That's the way I see it. But, and I don't know whether and that school was in town. That's the school that was down here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
On Franklin Street. Mm-hmm. And then when they built this new high school,
she continued to be
the principal. And Dad worked under her.
Mm-hmm. How did he feel about that?
I don't know. I'm sure he might have had questions in his mind. But he had his belief. He knew what he believed in. He knew what he could do. In a sense, he was respected. In a sense. But I've often in my mind wondered what it meant.
He didn't discuss it with you.
Well, he might in words or something.
Was he sad after that happened?
I don't know. How were you, Charlene? What were you? How old were you when?
See, I was a freshman in college.
When he went to Fort Lincoln?
Right.
Oh.
I finished Lincoln in 62.
Oh, yeah, you did. All right. Now, so you see,
Charles
he was
knows
a
more
boy.
About Chapel Hill High and Dad than I do.
So that's right. You finished, honey, you're dead.
Right.
How long did he work as principal or as assistant principal at Chapel Hill High School?
See, he became the director of continuing education
back at Lincoln.
So you see, he would do that at night. That was a night class. And they taught typing. They had different classes down there.
So he left the high school as assistant, Chapel Hill High School's assistant principal, and became director of continuing education at Lincoln.
Yes,
and his career.
Uh-huh. So
how long did he stay at Chapel Hill High School?
Did you
he was there for at least, Charles was there his junior team, Dad was there then, so he was there at least
those 2 years,
a couple of years. Because I remember we having continued education down there, and I went down there. I went to Benton to take him sewing, you know, and that was his. He was continuing education.
For the adults.
Mm-hmm. So he did that at night.
How long did he do that?
Long time, didn't he? And it's something we can't even remember when.
He did that for 4 or 5 years.
5 years, yes, he did.
And then he retired.
He retired from there.
When he died, Charlene had he been working? Uh-huh. See, now, he hadn't been working in a long time when he died. He died in 1990.
Right.
What am I saying?
Right.
He died in 1990. I guess he said,
are there other memories that stand out in your mind that you want to share with me?
I wanted to share with you how cooperative when we went into black schools, we the parents were very cooperative. I don't know whether they felt like they were with. But that everybody knew everybody because, well, naturally you're in a neighborhood and children passing by, because you see it used to be, kids used to be passing by here, Charlene, somewhere.
Yeah.
Coming from what, over here?
And going to Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, this was the community.
They walk right by here.
Yeah, they would walk by here. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was it. I was trying to figure why I could see the children and all. But you see, as they were going to Lincoln, I was at
Frank
Porter Graham. That's it. I was at Frank Porter Graham, and I went to Frank Porter Graham for it. We even had a telephone down there. We had to send up to the Lincoln with messages. And I thought, I can't think when that was, nor how long we were down there. But that stays in my mind how we had to send up there.
Because he was a freshly built school.
Ooh. And see, we went in before they were ready for us to go
right,
on. That was
right.
It. See.
How important was the band to Lincoln High School?
Oh, the band was important to Lincoln High School. The band was important to Chapel Hill. Because you see, they could play, they could perform. And they really could play. And it was something that they always knew Lincoln's band. But they always knew it like it was known more as Lincoln band, but Chapel Hill more so than the...
But it was not just the band.
It was
the band, but also sports.
Sports, yes, yeah. See.
Football
and
basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And track.
Okay. Yeah. All of the sports was really what made all of them. Because,
mm-hmm.
See, the band was playing. That was sports. They were winning games. It was
championship. For football, championships
and
basketball.
The town loved. The town knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And helped to support them.
Blacks and whites?
Yeah.
Did they come from out of town to see?
In the beginning, it was just black schools playing black schools.
Right.
In the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was at Lincoln.
Yeah.
We only
played black. Each other. Black schools played. They played Durham.
Right, but it was all through the state.
They see it was black. It was black and it was white. Then the integration came later. So black schools played black schools.
Did the school have a lot of pride in their football team?
Yeah, Lincoln. Any of these folks, you come across some of these guys who went to school down there. They'll tell you what they think, how they enjoyed it, and what was expected of them, and how proud they were. Is Doug Clark around here?
Rebecca Clark.
Mm-hmm. He's around.
Hey, do you ever see him?
No, I have. I have his telephone number. Rebecca gave me his number and told me to call him, but I haven't done that yet. She just gave it to me a couple of days ago.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we'll see. They were all of the children who went to the black school. I guess we prejudiced, but they felt that the school was theirs, and that they were part of it, and they knew what was expected of them.
They felt ownership in that school.
Oh, yeah. Because, see, the football team was noted for winning. Basketball team was noted. The music group was noted. You know, it was just something you could put your hand on, and everybody felt it was theirs. But maybe they weren't participating, but they were down there where it was. That's why I said maybe we were prejudiced, but I was prejudiced. I'm not going to say I wasn't.
When the band would march at homecoming, what was that like?
Well, Shelly, you have to tell them. It was the people would turn out. They had, sometimes there would be parades, all up, and people would be out downtown. I think maybe they went to the post office and turned around and come back. Go down to the post office. Oh, street would be full. Because you see, Lincoln's band had much more class than the white school band. Prejudice. But it did. They did.
What did they do that made them take such pride in that band?
Practice.
So they put a lot of time.
Yeah, around. And they knew what was expected of them,
mm-hmm.
and how they were going to respect themselves and the band and the school